You have. I'm coming. You have to support her in all she wants to do. And then it is through that career that she's able to build that house. Building that house is not a crime too. But then where I have to blame Mrs. Okafor is that she is collecting rent from the husband instead of discussing with the husband or telling the husband, even where why the house was being built, that I was building a house. She didn't carry the husband along. She was supposed to carry the husband along. And even though she didn't carry the husband along, she went as far as also collecting the husband's rent, not letting the husband know. Remember, this thing will open up someday. And then now it has opened up. You can imagine the reaction of the husband. But so my advice here is openness. Okay. The both couples should communicate, be open in their relationship, and then most of these rigors will not arise.
But don't forget, the reason why she kept all those things was because she gave him money, and he said he had a project, and eventually he did not pay back. So that's that was the reason why she kept that huge secret. So that it's not going to be like when I'm building, he will come up with one project or no project. And so I want another person's opinion. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think, according to the wife, she said she built the house. And the husband is complaining that after building the house, the wife keep collecting the house rent, not knowing that it's even his wife that holds the house. Okay, the wife is trying to recover all the money she has been borrowing the man.
Oh. Oh. Pastor said, oh, gosh. Ele, ele. Oh, Baomi, we need water for this one.
So, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think she have not collected enough of the money. She wants to collect extra in case if you want to borrow more.
Oh.
So use that one to recover.
Wow. 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 New ideas. Hey, wow. Do we have any other? Okay. Go ahead, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In my own opinion, the couple, they both have issues.
Okay.
I think the first thing they lack is communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trust. Second, communication. The husband collecting the money. We women, we always expect that you return our money.
Oh.
Yes.
So, men, they did not hear you well. They did not hear that part.
Okay. If
we women
expect that if our husband borrows money from, asks us to borrow him money, we expect that you pay.
Mm.
Now, that is number one.
You do not clap. Oh, women, now clap. She's advising us. So, the men, please.
I think we should wake up. We should wake up.
Who should wake up, ma?
The women.
The women. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, are we actually sleeping? Oh, so. Okay.
From that angle, I'm sure I've spoken our mind, but I think we need to wake up from that slumber. It's actually a slumber. That if our husband borrows money, if he returns, it's fine. If he doesn't return, it's for the good of the family. Because, yeah, I've been there. So, and I think...
you have been there. Don't forget, he's around, though.
I've been there, yes. We used to have issues if he borrows money, and I will, you know, it actually caused a fight. I now listed, he borrowed, I did this, I used my money to cook the soup, he did not return it. We had issues, and he now got to a stage when I also had issues, he had to borrow me money, I did not return. And I now realize that. And also, Isasha now realize if he needs money, he asks me, I give him. If he doesn't return it, fine. If he returns it, I will collect. And I think, yes, I will collect. And I think the issue of trust again, where communication is, they need to, the money. If the wife needs the money, what about the money? The husband too should be plain. I'll be able to return it. Or this is the situation of things, so that the woman will reason. If she will
everything
reason,
is to boil down able, to communication.
Yes, then trust. How will you, a woman, or even a man, we sleep with each other every day. We sleep beside each other. You know, we see each other talk every day, and you are doing something like that, and you do not tell. You didn't tell your partner. I think Christians should not do this.
Okay.
Yes, it's wrong.
Do we have another person? Okay, so I'm going back to the elders. Ma.
Well, God will help me.
Amen.
It is well. I love what my sister said, but you said we should wake up. You know, we're helpmates. We have to help them. A lot is on their head. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mommy, please, wait, ma. Are you... Uncle, are you married?
Let me tell you something. If you borrow...
Okay.
Okay. Yes. But there are some women. You didn't return the money. You are supposed to have returned, but you did. You see, our men, they are going through a lot. So we need to support them. Please. We need to support them. I know what I'm saying. School fees. Students now, they are resuming. Especially private university, the money is so much, but we need to support them. Do you understand? But one thing I just want to say is that openness, you have to be open, you have to communicate. What that woman was doing, maybe she had had it up to here with the husband. Like that my sister said, she was trying to collect money, collect extra. After collecting, she would now say, you see this house here? I'm the owner of this house, so don't pay rent again. I've actually collected all I need to collect. But it shouldn't be that way. She should have opened up from the beginning. Amen, please. Hey, Joe. Hey, Shanua now. Don't collect money from us and be using it somewhere else. The Lord
Rema.
Is on the throne, no?
Rema. Mom.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So they have answered all the questions now.
Just one.
Praise the Lord. For as far as I'm concerned, two has become one. So I don't know, you borrow me, I borrow you. You borrow you, I borrow me. If two has become one, marriage, I learned from a powerful man yesterday, that is the only covenant, the only living covenant that God created, that two has become one. You know, and if two has become one, what belongs to you belongs to me. I worked in a bank and I realized that so many men or women, any of them, their husbands died with their money in the bank, and the bank is owning it because the wives don't know and the husbands don't know. And sometimes account officers get to know these accounts and use fraudulent way to take away the money and go and use it somewhere else. Why? Because your money belongs to you, my money belongs to me. Let us try, as children of God, we need to remove ourselves from the way the world marries. That's the truth. Because if marriage, you know, my brother was saying when he was praying, he said, there is something he said about, where is that my brother? Brother Tayo. He said something about we know marriage, you and there's no you and me. we are one. And if we are one, and you feel like one, we should pay these things together. That's why the Bible says the wife should be the help meet for the man, the help suitable for the man. So if I can't pay the school fees and you have the money, pay the school fees. The children belong to two of us. That's the truth. So that when you are saying, your house, I build the house and you take the rent. Hello, the house is for us. The rent, we should rent out part of the house so that we will be taking rent from visitors. We shouldn't take rent from ourselves because we are one. We are one. If we are one, we must remain one. The Bible gives us the laws, rules, and regulations. You know, people say, your wife, you know, there is an ordained wife. You know, there is a wife that is supposed to be mine. I agree with you. But if you can keep to the laws, rules, and regulation of Bible, anybody can marry anybody. That's the truth. If keep the rules and regulation according to God, who decided that we should be one, I can marry somebody. So far, you are my husband. Once you are my husband, I key into the rules and regulations of the Bible. My husband.
Wow, mommy, thank you so much. I believe she has answered it. And in case you are not so cleared, so please see me after the service. I will get back to you. So before we move to the next topic, please, let's quickly go on a quick break. Welcome back. Please jam your hands together. That's TY Home. So in case you want to build a house, TY, let's hear your voice. Say hallelujah. So, but this is, the home is not for the married woman to go and build, though. She? So if you want to accept anybody that wants to build a house, that means they have to be two, husband and wife. Am I saying something? It is well. So the next question is about Miss Precious. Now she's fed up. She's the CEO of a company, and she's complaining that those that can handle her, because she's big, she's loaded, she's classy, they are the married ones. And the ones that are singles, they are complaining that she's too, as in she's of the high class, that they can't maintain her. Either she goes low, or maybe she becomes a full housewife and leave the company. in order for them to get married to her so that they won't get inferior. So right now, I want us to discuss about this. What do you think Miss Precious should do in this kind of situation? Back? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't think this happens these days. I think it's olden days. Men of nowadays, if you are not working, you will suffer. So you have to go out and work. They will be the one that will even tell you to go out and work. So I don't think that's obtained. Men don't even want a woman that is not hardworking. So you have to be all and doing before you can even... So maybe in those days, our fathers will say, oh, yeah, joke, Osile, don't work. But now... That is the criteria. If you are working and you have money, you are just married.
But in some situations, we've seen that where the woman is earning 400 and the man is earning 200 and he's saying, still come low. And you're saying he's old. Oh, is it different? Okay. So what are we going to advise? What am I going to tell Miss Precious? She should change her environment. Okay, so she should go to Lekki or Banana Island or...
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, ma.
Where is the angle of prayers? Because it's just like anybody passing through any difficult challenge. You go back on your knees. Bible says none shall lack her mate. Therefore, there's a mate for her. It's just for her to focus on God and pray. And the mate will come. Whether rich, whether poor, all she needs is a mate that God has proposed for her as a husband. So all these ones that are happening, they are all distractions. So my advice to Precious is go back and pray. Be patient. There's a time and season that God has prepared. I will tell Precious a testimony, a life testimony.
Okay, ma'am.
She works in an oil servicing company. It happened this year, 2022. Wow. She got promoted, and her official car is the latest 2022 Prado Jeep.
Wow.
And then her official apartment is in Banana Island.
Wow.
It's a life testimony. And she trusted God because she kept crying, she kept wailing, said she was preparing to go and do IVF to become a single mother. And boom, from nowhere, this man came. And within 6 months, they are married and living together. A Christian brother. So if God can do such living things, God can do it for Precious. All we need to do is to hold on to God and seek his face. Trials will come. But they say tough times will come, but it's only tough people that will outlast those trials. So Precious, hold on and trust God. Thank you
so much, Ma. Thank you, Ma.
Add to what she said, just little, within a minute I'll be done. Now, her perspective is the aspect of her spiritual life. But coming to physical stuff, and I think what man needs, we need to, the lady too need to work in that angle too. If she's not humble with what she has, if she's not, if she doesn't respect the man, I don't think she, even though if she prayed to tomorrow, she may not see anybody that will marry her.
Okay.
Please.
So are you saying it's because she's proud, that's why she didn't get the single
maybe,
brother?
Maybe. Maybe. Prayer must be
maybe.
There. Prayer must be there, and her character too, very, very important. Please. That's what I want to add.
Do we have any other... Okay, Modupe, please.
I think another thing that she can do, to be honest, is to change her environment.
No, you and this changing of environment.
No, seriously. If you
what if she lives in Lekki?
I'm not talking about Lekki. I'm talking about, for example, now, if you use the Bible, like as if Abraham had stayed where he was and said, I'm comfortable, I'm already comfortable in my where I am, we wouldn't have been hearing about him. Sometimes you need to leave your comfort zone and change where you are staying. Maybe where she's staying is not where she's meant. Maybe she needs to go to another place, another anywhere. Like just pray, just move. Sometimes you just need to move. To be able to, yes.
Move.
You need to move.
And move to fire.
You need to move. You need to move. Okay. No, seriously. You need to move. Because I heard of a story of someone.
Okay.
He was saying that the person had this same issue. Okay. Then her, like, she went to meet a coach, told her to move. When she moved, like, within how many months? She got a husband and everything. So you can move from where you are. You get to
not leaving prayer out of it.
No, not leaving prayer. Prayerfully move.
So what if you pray and the Holy Spirit is telling you not to move?
That's why. Uh-huh. So everybody's, there are different these things. So see, that's another option that you can also take by moving. Can I help?
After what mommy has said, you know? But I would just use myself that, like she said, prayers and there's a time to be found. Sometimes when there is delay in somebody's marriage, there's still something God is doing in your life. It's not because you've not been found. Sometimes when you are not getting a husband and everything, I don't believe in stopping whatever you are doing. I don't believe in it, you know? God will make you and will make you to be found in whatever you are doing. God gives everybody a helpmate. The same way God gives us, as women, helpmates, He gives us husbands that take us for who we are and that love us for who we are. So God will meet you. Just continue. God will meet you. Like you said, be humble, put God in prayers. If you have to relocate, if God says so, you need to relocate. But just know that because you are a woman and God said you'll be found, by faith you'll be found wherever you are, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, ma. Thank you very much, ma. So, Miss Precious, thank God I have a word for her. Prayer. So, please, let's quickly go on a quick break. We'll be right back.
Comfortable fashions. Contact us today for your wedding dress, bridesmaid outfit, dinner wears, unisex casual outfit, female corporate wears, children wears, air fascinators, art making, and training. For more inquiries, kindly reach out to us. Thank you. Let's make you gorgeous.
Hallelujah. Your hands together. Praise the Lord. Welcome back. So the next question or the issue is Mr. and Mrs. Oni. The first one is password. Mrs. Oni is angry. She's so, so sad because Mr. Oni used to keep, as in, he has password. He password his phone. And she's not happy about that. But to me, I don't see anything wrong in a man keeping his phone or having a password in his phone. To me, I don't know about any other person. So if you keep your phone and you're saying I should not go near it, then fine. If you hold your phone, don't come near my own. Or what do we think? Hold your own and I hold my own. So don't let, even if it rings, don't touch it at all, because I'm not touching your own. Am I saying some people's mind? I'm saying my mind. I just want to hear people's opinions. So please, do we have anyone that wants to contribute and just give an answer to this? Okay, Mr. Sam.
Good morning again, church. I think in my own opinion, when it comes to passwording phones, it's got to do with, to me, I see there's a difference between my space and privacy. I love my space.
Okay.
Just between me and my wife. I have certain reasons why my phones or whatever I do is password or encrypted. Now, I do that because I could have my phone in a place where, you know, in a public place or in a place where I do not know people that are around me. Okay. And I could not, by any means, you know, want to lose any type of information. And my kids also, I do that for a reason, because my kids, yeah, they're very fast in touching, you know, gadgets and stuff. And they go to my phone, anything goes wrong, it affects me. And it also affects my business. So as long as I have absolutely nothing, as I use the word illegal, or that is outside marriage between me and my wife, I mean, like, she says she wants to check my phone, go ahead.
So are you saying she knows your password?
No, she doesn't know my password.
She doesn't, she doesn't know. Yeah, but if she says, I need your phone, you will give it to her.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Sister Cecilia, do that.
If she wants to, absolutely, I will. If she wants my phone, yes, I will make it available. But what I'm saying is respecting the space and also privacy, it's two different things.
In marriage?
Yeah, in marriage, because I did something I practicalized.
Thank you. So do we have... It says, my space is my space. Ah! This is what I love. Sister Cecilia. Oh. She is my woman.
Praise the Lord. We are not going to argue about it. But I just believe that in marriage, it takes maturity to be able to undo some things.
Okay.
Like, I don't have my password. I just have to be practical. I don't have my password. He knows my debit cards, you know, PIN, all that. My phone password, he knows them as well. When I realized that sometimes he passworded his phone.
Okay.
I asked myself, why? It's just you and I. Why are you, you know? But I don't want to start giving myself unnecessary, you know, issues. And everything boils down to trust. I know he doesn't have anything to hide.
Okay.
I don't have anything to start searching.
Oh, that's good.
There are more important things for you to focus your mind on than all those things. So I'm careless.
Word. So, we have another sister. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For me, I see no reason why let me talk about myself.
Okay.
As a person, I password my phone, you know, for personal security reason. You know,
personal security reasons.
Yes.
Okay. And my wife, security reasons for your wife.
And my wife, whenever she asks me, I want to use your phone, I open up, I remove the password and give her my phone to use.
She knows it, or you will open the phone.
I open my phone.
I'm a counselor,
She doesn't have to know my password.
Password. Ooh.
But I opened my phone for her to use.
To use.
So I don't see any reason in that.
Why? Okay.
Because I opened my phone, give her, and I go out. She used the way she wants to use the phone.
Okay.
She must have scrolled, do whatever she wants to do. Because I have no thing to hide.
That's why
I could do that and leave the phone with her. Okay. So she can, you know, go through all my messages, go through my, you know, bank details, and she never asks a question. You understand? Because to me, I want to see this as communication. Communication and love. Once there's communication, there'll be understanding. So long you have cordial communication about yourself.
Okay.
So she doesn't have to know your password, but whenever she wants to use the password, your phone, you open up for her, she uses, like when my wife, she can testify about it. So for that, my personal opinion about it.
Okay, thank you, Brother Monday. Okay.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, for us, we don't keep password in my family.
Wow.
And, you know, somehow, early this year, we had an upgrade in my company's app. So by default, if you are a staff, it's going to you will need a PIN. I mean, sorry, like a password for you to be able to, you know, access even
to
your phone to log in or access your phone. So, you know what my wife and my daughter, they always play with my phone. So I just called both of them. This is the password so that whenever you guys need it, you can run with it. Thank you.
Praise God. Okay, sorry. In the midst of everyone that has talked, I think I'm a young couple, but my own idea about it is this. In marriage, the Bible says the two were naked and they were not ashamed. If you see your spouse's nakedness, what is a passcode? What is a password? Really, to me, it really doesn't matter. You might password, everybody has to password the phone, especially Android phones, because if you put it in your pocket, it can dial someone's number, you know, do all sorts. But if you can, what is the greatest thing about human beings? If you can see the person's nakedness, what else it is? The two became one, because we should not open, we should not give a space. The Bible says, give no space to Satan. Give no place to the enemy. There are little things that the devil can, you know, mount upon. And on the long run, begin to build things that you are not even aware of in your spouse. So give no place to the enemy. That's my watchword. Anyway.
Hello. Praise the Lord. I was just about to say something. What will Satan build on? Because he says Satan will build on something. He has to have something to build on. I mean, if it's see, I think there's a misconception here. It's about, I just said to me, I said privacy to me, there are two different things. It's privacy is my space. My privacy between me and my wife is open, but my space is my space. For instance, I put my phone on the table and my kids come around and say, "Well, touch my phone." What happens is, I mean, I've lost certain files and certain documents that was official, and because of this reason, I couldn't recover them.
Wow.
You understand what I'm trying to say to you? So that's my space. Give my space.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. When you say, praise the Lord. When you say password, password is your personal property.
Okay, sir.
Nobody is supposed to know your password.
Okay, sir.
Now, but like,
coupled with what?
Grandmother said, if your spouse asks for your phone,
okay.
Open the phone, give it to him or her.
Okay.
That is. Now, for example, now me and Brother Tunde share one secret.
Okay.
Brother said, I have this secret. I'm sharing it because I trust you. Don't give it out. Then I would. Then because you know my password, then you will not know Brother Tunde's secret. No, there's a secret that I share that my wife must not know. Yes. That secret is for me alone. Because if by tomorrow she knows about the password and you now know that I've shared your secret to her, you will not trust me again. Exactly. Settle with my company. My phone is my property. My phone is my office. And nobody is supposed to know what goes on in my office. Except
okay,
if you are a staff.
Bam.
Awesome. Now, how can I give my password that you now know everything that goes on in my office?
Bam.
No. Your password is your personal property. It's for you alone.
Alone.
I will ask for your password.
And you are not married. You become one. Alone. Bam.
That's it.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a consultant and I've worked with several clients and I've worked in companies that respect privacy. However, my wife knows my password. However, I do tell her that some clients' work are very confidential, but she doesn't have anything to do with my even phone. She knows the password. My phone is there; it's everywhere there. She picks my call, and I tell her that. So, yes, you have confidential things in your stuff, your phones, and you have something to protect, really. Maybe from your children because you can delete, but from your wife, I don't know why you should hide your password. Put your password there, but we are one. She knows my PIN, everything. And that's my own contribution to that. Thank you.
It is a bam.
Praise the Lord. It's good to have password, you know, for security reason. But I just want us to reflect on there are days that you need somebody, just one person. Just one person. And that is where it's very important. My husband has he locked his phone, and there was a day I wanted to open his WhatsApp, and he said, and I discovered that he has locked it. And he said, and I asked him, why did you lock your WhatsApp? He now said because of his student. And I agreed. I didn't even open it again. Because he told me, you know, he has student that works with him, same with me. And I've had a case where you just have to, in fact, everywhere we go, we need to password our phone or file or whatever so that we will not miss necessary document. But there are some documents that you need somebody to be aware of in case there are some cases of emergency where you have to get a particular information. The only thing is your spouse. How do you release information? Just let the person know. The person will know. Your spouse will know that this so-so password is for so-so reason. You cannot open the door and say, honey, yeah, should be your ATM, gonna go, is so-so-so-so. No, it's not something we joke with. But in case of emergency, I think we need to open up at that. You know, that kind of thing.
Thank you. So, good morning, church. Okay, so just to add my voice to the discussion, I feel... there's no need. Well, sorry. I feel that if you have a password on any of your devices, it's necessary for your spouse to know the password. So the problem women have is because probably the husband gives them room to suspect, or this vice versa, it could happen with the woman. So, as much as possible, don't give your spouse any room to begin to snoop. You are one, and you should keep your, there should be open lines of communication. At least, as a couple, you should be able to trust one another to the extent that you are naked in the presence of one another. So, you have a password, let your spouse know. Something could be wrong with your account. Something could be, you may need to access a device and you are incapacitated. It's only the person that knows your password that can access the device. So that's my...
Thank you, ma.
Okay.
Hello.
My question is to that brother. You said you open your phone for your wife. Please let her know your password. If you don't have anything to hide, I don't see the reason why you can't give your wife your password. Like me now, my husband used my own birthday date for his password. So anytime he's driving, his phone rang, I need to pick up, then I'll just open it. I don't need to ask him, hey, there was your password, this and that. Then to my sister, I know you don't care. You don't care about anything, whatever your husband wants to do. You said your husband doesn't have anything to hide. But assuming there's something your husband is hiding. I'm not saying he's hiding something from you, but I'm saying assuming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Assuming. Uh-huh. So please, it's just openness. Husband and wife, you have become one. So you need somebody, like my sister said, that we should know your password. There will be a point in time that you might need something. And if you don't have anything to hide, husband and wife, you don't need to hide anything from each other. Like me, I'm going to be 25 years now. Why will I be hiding something from my husband? I don't need to hide anything. Mm. Eh? And we are still waxing strong. Oh, no, but I'm there. I'm a authority document, so there's no wala. Eh? So please, trust in your wife. Then my brother, you say it's your personal property. Even if Brother Atunde share something with you, ask Brother Atunde, can I say this to my wife? And if he says no, then don't let your wife know about it. There is nothing about password. If he's sharing anything with you, it should be face to face, not on phone. So if you don't have anything to hide, I don't see the reason why you're saying password.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I think everybody has, you know, hit whatever we want to talk about. And thank God for mommy. You see, I like giving real life experiences. I work in a medical setup by the grace of God. We had a couple. They came in for endoscopy. It's one of the procedures you do for certain things. And the man went off. And in the process, we discovered that the woman said, please, there's an injection they give to my husband for so reason. Madam, which injection? Ah, he's always have it in his phone. Then we brought her the husband's phone, open it. Hey. She started jumping all over the place. Brethren, it was terrible. And they called me. I said, Madam, what are you saying? I don't know my husband's password. I don't know my husband's password. I said, oh. And the consultant came in, and we just guessed. That man was almost going. What is in password? We all password our phones. Yes. We all password our documents. Yes, it's necessary. It's because of the nature of women. We like snooping. We like looking for something where there's nothing. And then you will come and meet your husband. What is this, sweetheart? Why did you put my name as sweetheart? If you had asked your husband in a very sweet way, I'm sure he would have told you, Mommy is my sweetheart. I know a man who calls his wife, his mother, mine. You know, so please, password, let your wife know it. We are one in marriage. We have agreed to be one. No secrets, no agenda. Brother Tunde's secret is no secret to your wife, I beg you. Please, I have another case. The man has some properties. When he died, it was a visitor that came to tell the wife, you know this case we are handling, you know it contains so and so million, and we're begging to bury the man. The woman was shocked. But because he's a good man, he's a white man, if it was in Nigeria, the lawyer was hiding it. Because of what? Secret in marriage. Marriage is a growing process. It's an ongoing process. It's I help you, I help you. You fall, I make you to stand up. Somebody shared a word to me recently, said, how do you hide your family secrets? That the brother came, he didn't have any food to eat, and lo and behold, the brother brought a visitor. And when the brother was going, the mother-in-law he gave the brother water, and he gave the wife and the other one the drink. And when the mother said, but you know, I love 7-Up. The brother said, oh, don't worry, let me go and get it for you. You know, and he got to the kitchen and broke a bottle. And when he came out, he said, mommy, the 7-Up is broken. And that's the only one they have in the fridge. Please don't be offended. I said, no, it was not meant for me. And when the brother was going, he said, how are you? Please, make sure you go and clear that bottle and squeeze some money into the brother's hand and walked out. The brother hid his secret. How do you hide your husband's secret? Oh, you know my husband has his girlfriend. Quietly, please. Women, let's sit up. This one said we are slacking. Don't slack, but go back and pray. Mommy said something one day in the church here. She said, this her niece. This is what she used to settle everything. That is it.
Yes, ma'am.
There's no perfect marriage, but you grow it into perfection. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
So, mommy, just in a quick word, we just want to talk about mother-in-laws. Or should that be another time entirely? Okay, so we talk about mother-in-law. Yes, it's part of Mr. and Mrs. Oni's. So about mother-in-laws, how do we take care of our mother-in-laws that don't really love us? How do we cope? Are we to be fighting them or so in what? Mommy, give it to her. Mommy, just like 60 seconds, what should we do? Then we'll give grandma too.
I don't even know what to say because I don't have problem with any mother-in-law.
Okay. Well.
Because I think we just have to love them. I am not Yoruba, but I'm married to Yoruba. It's a woman in the church that told me, said, look, Irene, you see this, your niece. I know where you come from. You don't believe in kneeling down. Anything they do, just go down. Emma Binuma, Emma Binuma. Say, that is, it will work for you. This is an ambassador's wife that was coaching me. She said, anything they do, Emma Binuma, just go on your knees. And sorry, that thing works wonders. Mm. You know what children always say, it's the perfect word. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Whatever they say, I'm sorry. Ah, Emma Binuma, you love them. Go the extra mile and love them. I didn't have a difficult mother-in-law, but I had a difficult sister-in-law. And it's, I think the same thing applies. She came one day and said, you are calling me by my name. No. Kiniye. And I'm older to her. But they said that in Yoruba land, when you meet, anybody you meet is auntie. I didn't know that. Where I'm coming from, is how you say sister or you call the person by name. And do you know what I devised for her? Yao Komi. And that one went into her head. When I'm talking to her, I say, Yao Komi, how are you? Hey, Yao Komi, how do we do this? And that solves everything. So we go the extra mile and love, and God will help us. And again, prayer, you know?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Pleased to see you again. Mother-in-law, yes. Your mother-in-law is your mother, whether you like it or not. You see, the basis of everything we've been talking about, the way I look at it is that most people don't even know why they go into marriage. If you know why you are going to marriage, you will know that, like in Yoruba, they say marriage is a second school, especially for women. You may study any, or go to any school, but by the time you get married, it's a different school entirely. You have to start again. Mother-in-law, yes. Your mother-in-law is your mother. Especially us women. Because, you see, there are some mother-in-laws that will tell you, as you are marrying my son, you are marrying me. So you better know what you are going to. Are you going to marry that boy or that man because you are overaged, you are overdue to marry, and everybody is saying, all your mates are married and you are not married? You see, we need to understand why we are going into to getting married. Your mother-in-law is your mother. Whether she say, name it any, call it anything. Whether she puts fire, whenever you see her, there's fire, always fire on her face. Yes, because she bought, remember, she bought this, she carried this, they will tell you, I carry my son. And you know, men are not old in the
eyes of
when it comes to their mother. They are still babies, though. They are still babies when it comes to their son. So your mother-in-law is your mother. You have to learn. That's why they call it second school. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's jam our hands together because God is a good God. Before I call on our daddy, father in the house, I want us to look at the Bible reading, Isaiah 55. You know, it says that your thought is not my thought. That's God telling us. He said the thoughts, our own thoughts and his own is far. Is what is far. Just as the heavens and the earth. So we may have come with so many ideas, so many ideology about marriage, but I just want you to know that the word of God is real. You may think it is the oldest Bible, but trust me, it is still the current Bible that has to do with any current situation. Anything you are going through is still what? The Bible, the word of God. I'm not going to say much, so please let's call on our daddy, Pastor Conrad Neme.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, before I summarize all of the discussions. I think my wife wants to say something about this mother-in-law issue.
No. Praise the Lord. There is a portion of the Bible that guards and guides us. And it says, thou shalt not be unequally yoked. It's a very strong verse. If you are unequally yoked, the rules won't guard two of you. There are rules in the Bible that guards and guides the marriage. And if you are unequally yoked, how can that rule guide? If I am married to a Muslim, I should be guided by a Muslim law. Because if I want to be guided by a Christian law, I'm unequally yoked. How will it work? Okay? So now, if you are married to a man, you and your wife has become one. The way you treat your wife is the way your family will treat your wife. So that if, just like I said before, men are always seeing their mother as part of the covenant. She's not. She's not part of the covenant. You are covenanted with your wife. You and your wife are one. Every other person is, that's why they call them what? Extended family. So that if your mother, I have a brother that is one with his mom. He's his own, her only son. But hey, I had to come into it because she's not part of the, she's an extension. So she is. So if you and your wife becomes one, the way you treat your wife is the way your mother treat your wife. If your mother knows that if she does, you will slap your wife every day. What will she do? That's the truth. But if he knows, she knows that you have your wife here, especially my auntie that says she is married to a Yoruba family. That's a strong one. Because I'm married to a tribe that is not Igbo. I'm Igbo, but I'm married to a tribe that is not Igbo. But love will always hold us as one. Love is very strong. Make sure you make your mother see your wife as her daughter because you are her son. If there is anything that will make your wife to be guarded from her being angry with her, please let your wife know. You will be the go-between. You will shield her. She will be behind you. Every other person is in front. So that if you know there is anything that will make her to annoy your mom, just like she was told, whenever you are going, be on your knee. I have a sister, a cousin that was married to a Yoruba. In fact, she was not married to him before when she had her first child. She had her first child outside wedlock because the mother of the guy refused that she would be married. On the guy's, on her son's naming ceremony, she was walking on her knee. We that are Igbos, we were not used to it. We were wondering what is wrong with her. She was virtually on her knees, walking everywhere. What's wrong with this? What are you doing? This desperation. But it wasn't desperation. It was part of what she should be doing. And we didn't know. If we had been counseling her, we would counsel her wrongly. But her husband was able to counsel her rightly, and eventually they got married. They've been married for almost 30 years now. So please, as Christian family, Christian men, always learn to guard your wives from your mothers so that your family will always be one. Because if your mother don't see your wife as part of the family, your family will not be one. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you all for all of the wonderful contributions. I believe that when we have these discussions, it's not about who is right or who is wrong, but it gives us an opportunity to put context to what God wants us or what God expects of us as Christians. So the first comment and statement I would make is that there are rules governing marriage. If you walk by those rules, you will have no problem. God has set rules. All God wants for us to do is to follow those rules. And I'll just introduce one in the context of what we are talking about. I think I've shared it before, but let me share it again. 1 Corinthians, because God likens marriage with the body, okay? 1 Corinthians, is anybody listening? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read from verse 12 to verse 16, then I'll jump to verse 21 to 22. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether you be Jews or Gentiles, you are baptized into one body. That's the church. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What is the scripture saying here? It's saying that the body is organic. What does that mean? I think I use this example. You see this little finger? You might consider it to be useless and not valuable in your body, but try and cut it off. And then you find out how important it is. Because it is one body, but different members. What does it mean by different members? The eye is a member of the body. The mouth is a member of the body. The nose is a member of the body. The leg is a member of the body. The leg cannot wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Hand, I have no need of you. You know when it will know it needs hand? Is when he trips on a stone and is trying to get balance. That is when he knows that the hand is important. So what does that mean? Every part of the body is important. And let's look at it even more holistically. Is it possible for the hand to be doing something and the eye does not know?
Answer me now. Is it possible for the leg to be doing something and the head does not know? The Bible says marriage is like that. Remember when I started, I said, if we follow the rules, there will be no problem. Before I land on this, let me say this. The fact that we do not understand why God says we should do certain things does not mean you cannot benefit from it. God has not asked us to understand every instruction he has given to us. All he has asked us to do is what? Do it. I give an example. They needed wine at the marriage in Cana. The mother came to the son. We need wine. He said, my time has not come. And she turned to the servants. You know what? Whatever he asks you to do, do it. And he said to them, go and fetch water. Nobody in the world can tell me that those servants understood what he was saying. It was meaningless and senseless. But did they do it? Yes. Did they benefit from the result of their obedience? Yes. The Bible says concerning marriage, be naked and not be ashamed. It's simple. Everybody passwords phone. Everybody does. Because you need to protect it. But your spouse should know what your password is. When I mean spouse, husband should know wife. Wife should know husband. Naked and not ashamed. That is what God said. I didn't say it. It's simple. Now, it is silly and immature for you, because you know your spouse's password, to be snooping and be looking for something inside. No, that is not the purpose. The purpose is just being able to communicate to your spouse that I have nothing to hide. It's just that simple. I know my wife's password. She knows my password. Our ATM cards, I know all the passwords. She knows mine. Does not mean she's going to take it to go and begin to check the balance of my account. No. But she does. Because I have nothing to hide. It's that simple. I'm not doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because God says so. Well, I've said it several times. When you come into Christianity, under whose authority are you? God's rule or self-rule? Self-rule is doing what you think is right to yourself. The Bible says there are ways that seemeth right to a man, but it leads to destruction. God's rule is just doing what God says. No questions. Because the day it will become important for your spouse to know your password, you may not be conscious enough to be able to release it. You may not. So God, who sees tomorrow from today, knows you have confidentiality, knows all those big, big languages. What he says, do it. But in saying that, there must be balance. And that balance had already been emphasized. Don't snoop. Be matured enough to handle confidential information. Don't go searching for what nobody has given to you. It's unnecessary. A president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, was talking to a staff of his. And the staff said, sir, why do you always go to verify anything I tell you? Is it that you don't trust me? He said, no. It's not because I don't trust you, but because each time I verify what you say, you give me more reason to trust you. So when we are open, It makes the need for somebody to want to snoop unnecessary. I don't know if I'm making sense. Because there's a rule that God has set. So, going back to the drama, a woman or a man, you have a house, you have an asset, you have something that your spouse does not know about. It's absolutely a no-no. You and your spouse have become what? One. A man that loves his wife loves himself. A woman that loves her husband loves herself. Is that simple? Is that simple? You can't claim not to love your wife and say you love yourself. You don't love yourself. Or vice versa. Let me read another scripture for us. Another one. Can you give me Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 and verse 22. It's the famous scripture on marriage. Go to 20. Let's start from 20. Good. No, Paul was teaching on marriage, and this is how he started. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Go to 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, now, a number of times people have read into these scriptures, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. It is true. But this wife's submission to husband is not possible without verse 21. Let's go back to verse 21. It's not possible. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So are we seeing that there are two types of submission here? The first submission is mutual submission. The second submission in verse 22 is wives submitting to the husband. Now, let me say this. Love in marriage is not possible without mutual submission. Impossible. Each one must submit to the other. And let me explain it. Well, first of all, what is submission? Submission is humility. Submission is deference to the other person. So let me explain it very quickly. Do you mind? Should I go on? Very quickly, I'll try to wrap this up very quickly. I said earlier on that when God tells you to do something, you don't need to understand it to benefit from it. When there is no mutual submission in a home and in a marriage, the home is polarized. The home is what? Polarized. The home is divided. Just like the home of Isaac and Rebecca. In the home of Isaac and Rebecca, Isaac loved and perhaps had a covenant relationship with what? Not a covenant relationship. Had a bonding with Isaac, with Esau. Rebecca had with what? Jacob. Okay? Now, when the children grew up, because there was something that is of issue, which is the right of the firstborn, the father, being a traditional man, Isaac, was insisting that the right of the firstborn should go to the one that is the firstborn. Rebecca, being a woman that received prophetic revelation, wanted the right of the firstborn to go to Jacob. Why? Simple. Because at the time of conception, God has said, the elder shall serve the younger. Who received that word in the house? Rebecca. Men who insist that they must be the ones that hear the word from God. Not necessarily so. God is sovereign. In every home, God could choose to speak to either the wife or the woman. So the question every time there is an issue in the home is for the two of you to come together and ask yourselves, who is God speaking to and through whom is God speaking? And once you can determine as the man that God is speaking through your wife, you should submit mutually. Does that make sense? I don't know. Because we need to understand these things. But that is on one hand, mutual submission. But there's the one of the wife submitting to the husband as what? The head of the wife. As the head of the wife. In that story I just gave you about Isaac and Rebekah, remember that Jacob came to the mother and said, if my father finds out about this trick we are playing, he's going to place a curse on me. What did Rebekah say to him? He said, let the curse be upon me. She recognized the ability of the head of the home to place a curse. And she said, you know what? I'm not denying that fact, but on this issue, let the curse be on me. Some people will come and say, oh, why should Rebecca not be blamed for doing what she did, using tricks and all that? She may not be blamed. I'm not saying it is right, because she contrived a situation to be able to give the right of the firstborn to the son. Note that at that time, people were just beginning to know God. So that is why it's not permissible today. So, because she knew that this is God's prophetic revelation, she contrived a situation to make that prophetic revelation come to pass. Okay? Because she had not really known how to relate with God. What should she have done if it was today as a Christian? Go to God and say, God, I know you have spoken concerning this son. Please convince my husband. Speak to my husband. And that is why our sister that talked about prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. You see, as Christians, the Bible says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The first thing you look for in every situation is what? The leading of God. The number one thing. We are not Christians by head knowledge. We are Christians by practice. So we take plan B, plan C, we do everything and leave the number one thing we should do, which is what? The will of God concerning the situation. How should I respond to this situation? That is why we are Christians. That is why they call us children of God. See, people say, I don't hear God. But if you are sincere in your heart about a prayer you pray to God, even if you not hear him audibly, God will send somebody to speak to you in a language you will hear. And your spirit will bear witness that this is from God. It's simple. It's simple. Going to the other issue, the single lady, that's precious, having difficulties, some men are saying you are too rich, some men are saying this. It goes back to what I just said. When you are faced with such, pray to God. God may tell you relocate. If he says that to you, do it. If you haven't heard a word from God, stay where you are. Who was the wife of Isaac again? The wife of Abraham. Okay, sorry. Abraham wanted a wife for the son. Is that not so? And he sent the servant to go to his kindred, to the mother's people, and look for a wife. And the servant got there. As he got there, he said, God, whichever person comes out to meet me and gives water to my donkeys to drink. What else did she say? And also fill the extras. That will be the person. And Rebecca came out to do this. I want to ask a question. Did Rebecca know that somebody was looking for a wife? She didn't know. So what happened? That was who she was. She was a humble person. She was a hardworking person. She was a kind person. She was a nice person. It was her nature that played out that gave her the husband. So for women, whether you are CEO or you are whatever, those are the attributes you should look for. Those are the things. You don't go about looking for, just be yourself, but be who God has created you to be. Be humble, be nice, be kind, be generous, be hardworking. And God will give you the person for you. Whether in Lagos, in Ikorodu, in Sagamu. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know what? You know what? Because you can never be better than God can make you. Impossible. Somebody came to a woman and said, God spoke to me that you'll be my wife. She looked at him, looked at his shoe, looked at everything, said, go and tell God I'm not ready. Absolute arrogance. I'm not saying that that person is the husband. But what should she do? In humility, she should go back to God. Could this be the one you are sending to me? That person you looked at like this, tomorrow anything can happen. You don't know. God, who sees tomorrow from today, has said somebody go to you. So you don't know. So that is why we must eschew arrogance and pride and be humble like Rebecca. It's very important. Am I making sense? Let me attempt the last one so that I don't take much of your time. Is somebody getting somebody something here? Which one is the last one now? Password info. So, okay, I think I started with that. Mother-in-law. I've answered the password in one, Abby. Mother-in-law. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. You know what cleaving means? Cleaving is like something you weld. When you weld it together, it's difficult and almost impossible to separate it again. You know, the Bible is very intentional in the language it uses. So what does that mean? That is what tells us that you and your wife have become one, and your wife or your husband has become number one in your life over and above any other person. Any other person in that marriage is what is called in law an interloper or an intermeddler. You come to meddle. Please, let's note that. Every other person is an interloper, is a busybody. But having said that, wisdom is profitable to direct. A man grew up and was raised by a mother for 25 years, 27 years, 30. It is insane for you to think that he will just separate himself from his mother just like that. He has come to know you for only what? 4 2 years. There's what they call being weaned of something. To be weaned of something is to be taken away from dependence on something. It is not automatic. He knows his mother more than he knows you. That is the truth. But as the marriage journey continues, he gets to know you better. And he's only making an effort to know you better because God commands for him to do so. So don't make it difficult for him. The number one thing he should understand that is that you become first. Okay? But don't say, don't give money to your mother. Don't allow your mother to come to my house. Don't. You are being foolish. You are being, what did I use? Foolish. A foolish person is somebody who acts like a fool. Just in case you don't understand. That is what you are doing. You can't. Likewise, the man to the woman too. She's grown up in a family. What women most often do, they have an issue in the house. They go and tell their mother and they go and tell their siblings. Oh, they will judge it together and they will come. No, don't do that. But to say that there will be a separation in that relationship automatically, it's not going to happen. It's not. So what is the best thing to do? Love your wife's or your spouse's family. Just like mommy said, just like your own. Two of you have become one. Your mother-in-law becomes your mother. Your father-in-law becomes your father. Your in-laws become your brothers and sisters. Love them as one. If you are sending, if you have dependents both ways, you are sending money to your brothers, send to your wife's brothers too. That is what makes marriage work. That's what, because two of you have become one. There's no separation anymore. So, we have a situation where the mother-in-law, the wife's mother-in-law, comes to the house and she insists that she must sleep in their bedroom and on their bed. We've seen that happen. We've seen that happen. She insists. I'm sure that will never be mentioned amongst you. No one of you, when you become mother-in-laws, will ever do such a thing. But you see, these are people that don't know. So what is the man's responsibility? Rather than pamper the mother and tell the wife, understand now, because whatever you permit will continue. Yes. That's the truth. So rather than you tell her, understand now, what you should do, you should tactfully let your mommy know that things have changed, level has changed. You see, you don't have to have that conversation in front of your wife. Have it one-on-one with your mother so that she doesn't feel embarrassed. Sit her down and say, mommy, you know I am now married. It's not good for you to come and ask my wife to go to another bedroom and you sleep on her bed. Please, mommy, next time don't do that. I respect you and I love you as my mommy. I will always love you. But mommy, please, this is the room for you. Whenever you come, please stay there, okay? There's no woman that won't get it. She will get it, okay? Because you have done it respectfully, okay? So, men, because they have this problem, oh, you know I must respect her. No, you must take the bull by the horn. God has called you to marry a wife and leave your father and mother and cleave to, because God will hold you responsible if anything happens to that wife you married. In the course of this, oh, leave, let me leave. No, you must respectfully explain things and put your foot down and take a stand. And take it respectfully. I don't know if I'm making sense. Yes, that is the way it works. Because there are rules that govern marriage. Let us follow it. If you follow it, you will not have a problem. See, let me close with this. That I have a password for my phone does not necessarily mean it's wrong. Does not necessarily mean that my marriage won't work. Does not necessarily mean that my spouse will not trust me. Not necessarily. Okay? It does not mean any of those things. But that I'm doing it does not make it right. You know, I was explaining to, I think, the workers that a time comes in our Christian maturity where what matters is no longer, is this a sin or not a sin? Are you following me? A time comes in as Christian maturity where that becomes not the issue. It becomes, is it right for me to do it? Is it helpful? Is it constructive? Will it make things better? That is why you do it. It's not that what you are doing is sinful or wrong, but it's about right getting better. That's all it is. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. That is what he was saying. It could be lawful for me to do it, but it is not helpful for me to do it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. So, according to James Hadley Chase, he said that is the way the cookie crumbles. How many of you read James Hadley Chase? That's how we know different generations. See the only people that raise their hands in front. And one person at the back, the way the cookie crumbles. It is well with us. Amen. The important thing is that we come to church to become better and better. I said the church is an academy. Okay? And we come to become better and better in the name of Jesus. Amen. God will take us to places and make us living examples to everyone around us to see how a Christian home should be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, we will be closing now. Two things I just want to do. We had a Sunday school quiz this morning.